You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
So one of the most successful avant-garde writers, directors, producers, Roger Avery, is our guest for another 20 minutes or so. And I noticed when he was on Joe Rogan, he mentioned body snatchers. And I've used that analogy many times back a month ago when the black guys in the airport saying, "Why don't you care? You're looking at your phones. Wake up. You're in danger." And he's absolutely right. Yeah. We have to have, you know, that sense of urgency. Here's a clip from the remake in the 70s when the original guy from the 60s or 50s, whenever the first body snatchers was made, running around as society's collapsing, as the aliens are really in their takeover phase. Here it is.
Okay. Well, Kibner will be able to explain something.
I don't need a psychiatrist.
Just forget that he's a psychiatrist. Just think of him as a very intelligent man, which is what he is. It's a book party. He's a celebrity. He's very famous, and you will really like him if you just forget that you think he's a psychiatrist.
I don't know. Matthew, I've lived in this city all my life, but somehow today I felt everything had changed. People were different. Not just Jeffrey, but everybody. Yesterday, it all seemed normal. Today, everything seemed the same, but it wasn't. It was a nightmare. It really became frightening. It was like the whole city had changed overnight.
About the English Camel Corps? Did I?
Mm-mm.
They're trapped in the desert, in the Sahara Desert. They've been surrounded by Rommel for 40 days, and they've run out of food. And the captain comes and makes an announcement to the men. And he says, "Men, I have some good news for you and some bad news for you." And one of the men says...
Oh, wait, you have told me this one.
Oh. Can I tell it to you again?
Oh, my God.
Lock the door.
They're coming. Help. Help. They're coming. Listen to me.
Listen.
Please. Euronext, we're in danger. Please, listen to me. Something terrible. Please. Euronext, here they are. They're already here. Come. Euronext. They're coming.
I must have done something.
And that's where we are, and that's what I'm trying to do, Roger Avery's trying to do, is we don't claim to have all the answers, but we know we're not in Kansas anymore. Roger, you brought up body snatchers. Why did you raise that on Rogan?
Well, there was this guy I'd seen on X who, this well-dressed black dude who was at the Atlanta airport, and he had read basically what I had read, and he was out there, and he couldn't believe everyone was asleep and just going about their daily lives, just like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And he was like Kevin McCarthy, the actor from the original movie, who was reprising that final moment of the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers in Philip Kaufman's remake in the 1970s. And I think it's the 1970s. And where he was in the airport just saying, you know, "You don't know what's happening there." He's telling them they're eating babies. They're the horrors that are going on. And he's trying to shake everyone out of it. And people are videotaping him and people are standing back and people are kind of laughing, you know, off to the side. And nobody actually wants to admit it. And I watched that and in kind of horror, and I was thinking, here he is. That guy's like me. I know what he's going through because
I
want to
do it all the time. Sometimes I start screaming in airports and grocery stores saying it. Like during the lockdown,
yeah,
take your mask off.
Asleep.
It's all a lie. Yeah.
And it reminded me of a Latin phrase that has, you know, been long known because it's true, which is "Mundus vult decipi, ergo decipiatur." Mundus vult decipi, the world wants to be deceived. Ergo dissipiatur, therefore it is deceived. And it's because we don't want to believe, you know, when you know the realities of the world, it's like you've bitten from the fruit of knowledge. And, you know, you can no longer be innocent again. You will never be the same once you know what the reality is of the world. You are no longer in the garden. You're no longer like, you know, an animal, which animals may kill, but they're innocent in because they're they don't have knowledge the way we do. And so you're expelled from the garden. But people want to believe that they're still in the garden. They will lie to themselves just to believe that they're still
exactly.
innocent.
That's the worst place. We're not in the garden, and they don't even know it. So we're kind of giving them the second bite at the apple. Like, you're already in Sin City, baby. You need to now admit it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and if the garden is too much for some people to accept, one can always use Plato's cave as an example, that you're in Plato's cave, you're looking at shadows on the wall, or this guy from The Matrix, who knows that he's that the steak is fake, but that, you know, if he but it still tastes good. And he would rather be ignorant, because what Orwell said was ignorance is bliss. And there comes a point where if you've undergone gnosis, if you have an understanding of things, and you've read the papers and you see the horrors that are behind the veil that are no longer hidden, because there's and they show these things during Olympic ceremonies now. They show us, I think it was it 2016 in the Olympics, they showed us the coming of COVID, because these are plans. They're thinking about these plans three steps ahead of everyone. And so, when I heard that, that it wasn't Iran that announced that there was going to be an attack on Los Angeles, it was the FBI that announced the attack on Los Angeles. Haven't heard anything from Iran about it. And so I started immediately thinking, well, this is going to be like Lahaina, or this is going to be like the Pacific Palisades. Why would they do this? Why would they do this at an Olympic ceremony if not
killing everyone?
If not part of a spell that they're casting. And so when I heard about the attacks, which are ludicrous, the idea that Iran is going to attack California, it's as ludicrous as the movie 1941 by Spielberg. You know, it's a joke. What makes a lot more sense is that somebody wants to do a land grab, or somebody wants to destroy their building for insurance purposes, or somebody wants to create chaos in order to enact something else, because they're thinking three steps ahead. We're only thinking one step ahead, because most of us are just trying to get through our lives. We're just trying to pay our mortgage.
We won't think like administrators, like have all this control of narrative, of property, and even admit they're going to do stuff like this. We have to stop being naive and start thinking like they do.
Yeah, and the thing is, the messaging is all out there all along. You can see it because of the revelation of the method. They have to tell you in advance as part of the karmic relief.
The esoteric. So you were laying that on a rug. It was fascinating. Why do they have to tell you what's happening?
Well, the revelation of the method is to expose what you're going to do before you do it. And by doing that, it becomes accepted by the people before you do it. And then once you do it, you are relieved of the karmic weight that comes with actions of negativity. And so this is something that dates back as to the dawn of time, and that has existed for a very, very long time. And it's in all it's in the books. You can read these esoteric texts that are effectively describing how the nature of reality works. I mean, people sometimes are like, wow, that's a coincidence, or wow, I see patterns in everything. I see patterns in the world
around
me.
So it's contracting. If they tell you, you've agreed, if you don't oppose it, so you can waive your rights in a contract.
Correct. It's like a vampire asking to be invited into the home. Once you invite it into your house, you've made it okay. Whatever happens to you after that, it's your own damn fault. And so we as a culture, mostly asleep, are being fed these kind of images constantly, either through movies or through you know, Olympic ceremonies, and you just have to ask, like, who is running the Olympics?
Yeah, like, why every NFL thing, every Hollywood event, it's devil worship, it's a cult, all-seeing eyes, portals. What are they saying?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I mean, we know they're doing it. When you see occult ceremonies are almost in every major event, what is it? Obviously, it's about the revelation of the method, but what are they telling us through the ceremonies?
Well, they're telling us what they're going to do. And you can see what they're going to do. If they're going to, like, for instance...
Cut the head off the queen. They're saying revolution. They don't mean revolution.
They're saying revolution. And, you know, and they're soft implying. It's a kind of soft power that puts it in. If you show the Last Supper, which is the version of it? You show the Last Supper,
yes,
and you pervert it and you invert it.
You own it.
Then you're creating an inversion of reality. And, you know,
and
just
stealing,
like, as
femininity
above, so below,
with gross men with beards dressed as women and going in and making women nurses do pap smears on men's penises. It's all about occult ritual to make you submit to lies.
It's all about as above, so below. And when we read the Hermetic laws, the laws of Hermes Trismegistus, you know, these laws are the laws by which, you know, most lawyers operate under. And so when you see, like, the laws of correspondence, that, you know, that which is above is also so below, what they're trying to do is, I don't know if you've ever read any of Rabbi Zavatai Levi's works. Their whole thing is to bring about the apocalypse sooner. Like, and so
acceleration, explain what that rabbi said. That's important.
Zebahai Levi effectively said that if we bring about through sin and through acts of sin, we bring about, you know, the apocalypse sooner, and therefore we become closer to the end times and the coming of the Messiah, or whatever he called the Messiah. And so there was this kind of belief that,
forcing God's hand, which we have Hegseth, little fan of the Iranians, like, you know, well, we're going to force the end of the world here. And then meanwhile, the Iranians think their 12th Mahdi is about to come, the same thing.
In Marlowe's Faust, there's a moment where Faustus, you know, creates a circle, a magic circle to protect him. And then he conjures Mephistopheles using a certain spell. And Mephistopheles comes to him from, you know, presumably from hell and before Faust. And Faust asks him, as one of the questions, now that he has the demon before him, he says, if you're truly a demon and you are condemned to hell, how is it now that you are here before me? You know, if God has condemned you. And what Mephistopheles says, why, Faust, this is hell, nor am I out of it. Think you that I, who have seen the face of God and known the gifts of heaven, am condemned to 10,000 hells to be deprived of it? And what Marlowe is saying is that we are in hell. You know, the material realm is the trap. And
it's
what we're undergoing now, and what we're undergoing now is a kind of battle between spiritualism to ascend and materialism, which is to descend. And this is a wonderful version of, Faust was written by Goethe and Marlowe. They both did versions of it. And this filmmaker, whose name just previously escapes me, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he's an animator, and he combined Goethe and Marlowe very elegantly. And
the crazy part is Faust could have gotten out of any time. It didn't.
Yeah, well, the crazy part is that Faust is given everything that he asks for, because he doesn't believe the mortal soul is anything. It's just a thought, you know, this trifle of a mortal soul that you speak of. I'd gladly give it up to be able to move the spheres from their orbits, to look behind the veil of reality, to know the secrets of the universe. And once the entire story is done, Mephistopheles comes to claim his soul from him. And he says, yeah, but I don't know any more than I did at the beginning. You know, I've seen everything. I've seen behind the veil. I've been able to move the spheres and change reality and do all the worldly manipulations possible. I've had all the powers. I've raised the seas. I've lowered the seas. I've done it all. And I still don't know, the truth of things. And the devil says, or Mephistopheles, the devil says, why, Faust? All the secrets of the universe were there for you all along in a single blade of grass. And what they're saying is God and God's method is here. And it's for us to choose. It's for us to choose the beauty of the of this reality that we're in over the we are in equal parts hell and heaven simultaneously.
And isn't that the paradox that God gave us free will? Gives us a cheat sheet, but the devil is an agent of God. The devil decided to rebel, but God allows the devil to do this. People need to understand that. The Satanists always come back with that. Oh, your God's a Satanist. He allows this to happen. No, he gave us free will. And it's just like I have children. They could be bank robbers or be great people. It's the same process.
Angels and demons. I went to CERN, and at CERN, they gave me a private tour, and they took me in. They took me into the antimatter chamber. They did all sorts of stuff. And there at CERN, they have stuffed animals of the Tasmanian devil. They have a giant A on the wall with an arrow going one way, and a D on the wall going the other way. And I was like, "What's that?" And they said, "Oh, that's angels and demons." And so, CERN, when you look at it, you're like, "What is that?" It looks like a giant, cathode ray tube to me. It looks like a projector. It looks like they're projecting television, that they're trying, and there's Kali the Destroyer, Kali Yuga the Destroyer, which is, a sculpture that they have at CERN, and, there's been ceremonies there over it, and, at that sculpture. There it is, and what exactly are they doing? And, this is where the World Wide Web was invented. This is where large advances in AI came from. This is one of the few places on the planet that is completely multinational. While I was there, and this is a while ago, there were Iranian scientists, Russian scientists, scientists from all over the world. And it's an extra, even though it crosses, I think, three separate countries, you do not need passport. The passports are extra judicial. I think that's the term that they used. And so
it's like a city state, like the city of London or Israel or the Vatican. It's its own thing.
And they're trying, or they have succeeded in effectively projecting reality. And you look at that logo that you just had up is three sixes. It's 666. Is that an accident? Who designed that? Is that just because the colliders, take the spin rates like that? Or is it because that's a 666 that we're looking at?
And what is 666 from your research?
Well, 666 is the number of the beast. But then again, that is the revelation of the method. By showing us what it is, and we all agree with it, it is now part of something that we're all paying for and that we've all, that we're all aiding in.
And just we're like they're all representatives of every country there, like you're all involved.
Yeah, because there are no real countries. That's the other thing that I've started to realize is that just like in Hollywood, there are no multiple studios. It's all run by one giant group. And whatever we call that group, whether it's an agreement among these giant corporations or whether it's BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, all working in concert, to basically send messaging from above, to the development executives who all will follow. They listen to their bosses.
Oh, we know that. That's come out with the ESG. So in closing, an incredible interview. What other points you'd like to make?
Nothing happens without being sanctioned first and without us being told what's about to happen. And so just be aware of what you're watching and why you're watching it.
Absolutely. What is going to happen to Hollywood? What's happening to it right now?
Well, there's a struggle right now between we could call it the well-meaning right, and we could also call it the well-meaning left. But both of them have rather extreme ideologies. And I've always kind of felt that you need to know your extremes in order to find your center, and that you choose, just like you choose between good and evil, constantly. I mean, my kind of discovery was that the well-meaning right were can just as easily fall prey to the trappings of what Hollywood is. And, you know, for example, this dinner that I was at, you know, they were asking, what can we do? How do we do it? What do we do about the American cinematic universe? And, you know, the answers from most of the guys there were, well, you make 10 movies and one of them is a hit. In the end, they're all chasing money. And that is the problem, because money is not real. Money is a concept. Like they say, our planet is in debt, you know, trillions of dollars in debt. In debt to who? And when you read Milton Friedman's dissertation, which is The Island of Stone Money, about the Isle of Yap and how they used these stone fays, which are like donuts, basically, of different sizes, that their concept of money was these rocks. And so in order to get anything done, the Germans at the time, when they were trying to build an airstrip, they encountered these people and they're like, how do we get them to do, you know, what we want them to do? And they offered money, but the money was, they just burned the money. They didn't care about Reichsmarks. And so instead they would, they marked up all of the fae, these stones that were laying around the island. And they said, the ones that are marked belong to the Kaiser now. And unless you build that road, I'm not going to take the mark off of it. And the road got built. And so money is a kind of confidence thing. It's a kind of belief system. It's a faith. And you either believe in the faith of that, or you believe in the faith of your own spiritualism and those messages that that, you know, that come from within. And I think that we all now must make a choice. And the choice is between materialism or spiritualism.
I totally agree. Does Hollywood know?
Those times are here.
Does Hollywood know effectively, in my view, that it's basically the old system's dead? Or are they zombies?
I think in some kind of unconscious level, the old system is dead. And what's really happened is you have a number of executives who are being paid $600,000 a year, and they're very comfortable in their job, and they will not make a choice. Like, you come in and you pitch something, they would rather say no to everything than to say yes to something and maybe be wrong. And the ratio is about 10 to 1.
Totally so they're totally wrong. Stagnant.
And so they're frozen. They're like a deer in the headlights, and nothing gets done that way, which is why it's up to individuals now to pick up the torch and say, I can make a movie. And by the way, I meet young filmmakers who make movies for $50,000. And, you know, they have figured out how to release these movies in such a way that they see consistent return on their investment, and they own their material.
So the 100%. System committed suicide itself. It doesn't know it yet, but the innovation's there. You're seeing a renaissance begin.
Absolutely. I think that there's a renaissance coming. I think everything moves in ebbs and flows. And whenever there's a crisis, inside of the Chinese word for crisis is the word, the Chinese character for opportunity.
Absolutely.
And this is a great opportunity for us to put out the right kinds of films and the right kinds of messaging, to preach the right ethics and morals to the people who just want to go to be entertained.
Exactly. The elites need to know their Satanism is going to destroy everybody. They need to turn back now. Roger Avery, I'm going to end the broadcast with a plug. If you want to hold just 1 minute, I'll say goodbye to you at the end. Please, I want to talk to you too. So please don't hang up. I'm going to end in 1 minute. Thank you so much. And just an amazing interview. People can find you at Avery.com and at Avery on X. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure. I really appreciate you having me on your show. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Just hold a minute and a half, because I want to say bye to you before Harrison Smith takes over with the War Room today. I'm not funded by the Qataris, the Israelis, or Hollywood, or anybody. I'm funded by you. So this whole operation, everything we do, is funded by you at theolivestonestore.com. We got a big sale that just launched. It only runs till Monday. You can text InfoWars. People have been wanting this. We have it now. Text InfoWars 342581 and get a free bottle of methylene blue tincture with any purchase. So you can buy like a $14 t-shirt and get a free bottle of methylene blue at $35 value. That is an amazing deal. It's a loss leader. The product's so good, we're doing this. Text InfoWars 342581. Also, we have the original X2 iodine, the very best pure iodine. Nobody else has it. Even stronger, now known as T3, at thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off for VIP members, 25% off for everyone else. And we have the America 250-year birthday T-shirt, limited edition, at cost, $14.99 at the store right now, limited edition shirt. And we also have the Mega March sale ending the 17th, 20% off everything else. Thealexjonesstore.com. That's what changes the world. products that make you healthier, wealthier, wiser, and to fund the operation. I want to thank you all for your support and encourage those that haven't been visiting the site to do it now. Amazing interview with Roger Avery. Incredible stuff. We'll be right back with the next broadcast with Harrison Smith and the War Room. You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. Give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theultrasort.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the Methylene Blue bare minimum at theelksofstore.com.